Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you about a concept, and really, I guess if you're going to title this, you call it Catching the Spirit. Catching the Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, catch the Spirit. Catch the Spirit. And you know, as you go through life, sometimes things are a little bit more, maybe you've heard this before, but caught than taught, that that something gets on you. Have you ever been to like a restaurant or somebody's house, and when you left with a little bit more than you expected to leave with? There was a little bit of a, you caught a little bit of the smell, you know what I'm saying? Have you, grandma's house is like that, grandma's house. You go to grandma's house, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. That can be fresh baked pies. That can be German chocolate cake. That can be homemade chocolate chip cookies. That can be banana cream pie. I don't know what that smell is, but it probably smells like bananas and dairy. And I'm telling you, you know, but grandma's house has a smell. Can anybody with me on grandma's house, all right? You go there, you're like, and then maybe like some old English polish, you know, and some different things. It all goes together. I used to work at Lambert's. Lambert's has a smell, all right? Lambert's definitely, and if you fry potatoes at Lambert's, you will find that smell, you literally go home, you burn your clothes, and then you just start over, all right? You shower, and then you shower again. It's the fried potato and onions and the grease, but those are good fried potatoes and onions, people. Those are good. Lambert's has a smell. Subway has a smell. Subway does. You go to Subway, you're gonna smell like Subway for the rest of the day. You're like, that was a good meatball sub. That was a really good meatball sub. Now, there are some smells you don't mind keeping on you, all right? Some smells you don't mind. Bacon. All right, you cook bacon. Now, when my brother-in-law comes, he opens the windows, and he says, I don't want to smell like, I close the windows, people. I want later in the day to be like, oh, that's a good morning. That was a good morning. Let's just rub that grease in my arm. It will just get extra moisture, you know. Or have you been to Black Sheep? I was at Black Sheep the other day with somebody who's here tonight. And they ordered a veggie burger. And I was literally eating my milkshake before my food came. And I was watching them eat, and I was like, this person probably thinks I'm gonna die at like a young age. Well, I'm probably gonna die soon then, but because of what I was doing. I ate that, and then I had sweet potato fries, and then I had a delicious spring Philly. It was awesome. And some people are like, are we going to preach the word tonight? I thought you said you had a word, man. We'll get there. Is anybody hungry as I'm talking about food? You're like, man, as you're talking about that, I'm hungry. Like, if you're like, I'm really hungry, I'm starving right now, as you're talking to anybody right now, we got one hand, two. You're hungry? You're really hungry. Well, I have a little gift for you tonight. I brought a little black sheep. We got a little black sheep. Sorry, I don't want to spill the delicious purple haze that you're going to have. These are some sweet potato fries. This is a black sheep ugly cheeseburger, and it's going to about to get messy tonight as I am preaching. You're going to be eating. Look at that. That looks so good. Hey, can I have one of those fries?
No.
Seriously,
no.
I just want one.
Okay, you have one.
Yeah. Just remember where the gift came from. Oh, that's good, man. That's good. Chad just went and got that, by the way. So it's fresh. It's fresh. So we're talking about, it's all that about smells. We're talking about catching the spirit. You know, and I know that's like, man, so how does smells work into that? Some things only come by proximity. Some things only come as you get close. You know, you can want to be affected by something. You can want to be like someone, but unless you get close, you're not actually gonna have what they have. There isn't gonna be the same feel. There isn't gonna be the same spirit. You know, oftentimes when we walk with God, the way that we really develop a godliness in our life, the way that we really become who God wants us to become, is by getting close to people who have a walk with God, getting close in the presence of God, making a commitment to the house of God, saying, I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna get close so literally I smell like the house of God. Literally, I talk like those who are the people of God. And until I have it, I'm gonna stick around until I get it. Because that's what I want. I want to catch it. I want to catch it. You know, some of you maybe didn't grow up in a Christian home. In fact, quite the opposite. You grew up in an environment that was completely godless, that was less than what God would have for you. And you think, how am I ever going to get there? How am I ever going to be who God's calling to me? You know God's put things in your heart. You know he has a calling on your life for whatever you're doing. God, that God wants to use you, but you don't know how to get from here to there. You don't know what that looks like, and you'd be trying, but you're not sure how to get there. I want to encourage you with a message tonight and a passage of scripture that I think will really help you as you want to grow in your walk with God. Because just that catching of it is such a cool and a powerful thing that when we say, you know what, I'm hungry for it, and I'm going to get close so I can catch it. The fact that you're at prayer meeting tonight on a spring break weekend says that you already understand a little bit of this. Because you said, I want to be in the presence of God in the midweek, in the prayer meeting. I'm going to get there because I want to catch what God has. And if God's presence is going to be there, I want to be there because I want God's presence on my life. But in order to catch it, you got to have that proximity. And there's a guy in the Bible named Elisha. There's Elijah and Elisha, very similar names, but Elijah is the man of God. Elijah's had a great ministry. Maybe you've heard of Elijah calling fire from heaven, or maybe you've heard of Elijah praying. You know, oftentimes in the prayer meeting, we'll say, Elijah was a man just like us, yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for 3 years, it didn't rain. Elijah was the kind of guy that you're like, man, I want what that guy has. I want the same thing that God's doing in his life, I want God to be doing in my life. Have you ever seen somebody in your world that just was godly, that just... You know, man, they're like, I bet when they pray, God answers their prayer. It just seems like they have a walk with God. It seems like they hear from God, and you want what they have. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Elijah was a guy like that. And how do you get what somebody like that has? How do you grow in your walk with God? How do you become a mature believer? How do you grow in your understanding of the things of God, but you also catch what the Spirit of God is doing in somebody? Aw, I'm sorry. We have 4 kids, and I just have a compassion for you right now. Let's all pray for them. No, I'm just kidding. How do you catch that? You catch it by having a commitment to saying, you know what, I'm going to be around that person. I'm going to be around the presence of God, and I'm going to put a priority on that until it gets on me. Because it's less about just wanting it and more about saying, I'm going to be so committed to that that you're going to have to pry my fingers off. You're going to have to push me out. I want to be in the presence of God. I want the presence of God on my life and having a commitment to that. So this guy named Elijah, he's a very powerful man of God. He loves God. He's made a huge impact on the nation of Israel. And he has a guy with him named Elisha who wants what he has. And you're going to see that in the passage that we read, and we'll read it together right now. It's in 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want you to hear some of the language and some of what Elisha does, because I think it will help you as you're wanting to grow in your own walk with God. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, everybody say, that's cool. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know today the Lord is going to take your master from over you?" And he said, "I know, keep quiet." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood at some distance from him. And as they both were standing by the Jordan, Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water parted from one side to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm to be taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing, yet if you see me being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went on still and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horsemen separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen," and he saw him no more. And then he took his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And when he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted from one side to the other, and Elisha went over. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Now, that's a crazy passage. It's a cool passage. But what is that passage about? It's about the question that Elisha asks Elijah. It's about the request that he gives him. The lead up in the passage is really building us to that request that, hey, I want a double portion of what God is doing in your life on my life. I want what God is doing and how he's working in your life on my life. I want what the Spirit of God is doing in you on me. And so we watch him ask for this and then God give it to him. Really the climax is when it's like, hey, can this guy part the water? He parts the water, and then they recognize instantly, wow, what God was doing in him is now on Elisha, that the presence of God was resting on him in a special way. It's God's heart for each one of us that we'd be people of his presence, that we'd be people that are walking full of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a power and a presence of God that rests on our life. God wants that for each person in here. He wants it for you and he wants it for me. But we have to be hungry for it and put ourselves in position for it. I love as you look at this passage that you see, and the first thing I want you to see is proximity. That Elisha puts himself in a close proximity to the person that he wants to be like. He puts himself in a close proximity to where the presence of God is moving. He has a commitment to be close. You know, I think tonight, as you look at this passage, I hope that the Holy Spirit presses on your heart and says, who are you hanging out with? Who are you putting yourself around? Because the people you're in proximity with are the people that you're going to catch what's in their spirit, and it's going to get on your spirit. The people that you're in close proximity with are the people that you're going to begin to talk like and act like and smell like and look like, and they're going to be like, man, have you been hanging out with that person? Because you're starting to talk like that person. Is that the person that you want to catch what's in their spirit? Is that the people that are around you, are they the people that you want to look like? Are they the people? Are they people that are godly? Yeah. Are they people that have a passion for the things of God? Are they people that have a passion and a faith and a heart to build the house of God? Because I can tell you, if they're not, then you won't. I can tell you if they're not, then you're not going to walk with a passion. You might have a passion today, but you won't have a passion tomorrow. But if you say, you know what, I want that, and you position yourself in proximity around people that are already there, people that are farther down the tracks, people that love God with all their heart, then their spirit and what God's doing in their life is going to get on you. Amen. That's why this time here is so important. You know, you come to church for multiple reasons. We're the body of Christ, here to encourage one another, here to sharpen one another. You're here to get the word of God in you. You're here to get in the presence of God. But all of it designed, and God created this institution in the church, in the gathering of his church, in the gathering of his people, to say, you know what? My presence is going to move in this place, and then my presence is going to get on your life, and you're going to carry my presence into your workplace tomorrow. You're going to carry my presence into your relationship. You're going to carry my presence into your marriage, and you're going to watch God, by your proximity to the presence of God, begin to change you. So what you're doing tonight is so important. It's good that you're here. And have you ever been walking through a time in your life where you're like, man, it's hard right now, or man, I just don't feel like I have what it takes, but you get into the presence of God, you get into a church service, and you feel like, man, I can go another day. I can keep going. I can, and you feel like, man, it changes you. Like, man, you might have before prayer meeting tonight be talking a certain way, but as you leave tonight, you talk a little bit differently because you got a little bit of the word of God in you and a little bit of the presence of God on you because you said, I'm going to be in proximity. But all of that to say that in every area of your life, you want to be thinking about where you're positioning yourself, so you're positioning yourself in the presence of God. I think about in Acts, it talks about the disciples after Jesus has gone up into heaven, and I think we have that verse for the screen, but it says, you know, they're speaking before the Sanhedrin. That's like the Supreme Court in Israel, and they are speaking with a boldness. They're speaking with a power, and it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated. Now, they didn't look at their education history. They didn't have their degrees before them. They are perceiving they're uneducated just by the way that they're talking in that place. So it's not that they were like saying like super eloquent things or super, super tight arguments. They just said, man, these guys are uneducated, common men, yet they were astonished, and they recognized, because of the presence of God that was on their life, the Spirit of God that was on life, these guys have been with Jesus. These guys have been with Jesus. They're like, man, I've heard Jesus speak. And man, there was a boldness and a power in the way he spoke. And now it seems like that same boldness, that same power is on these guys. They said, they look like Jesus. That's what happens when you get in the presence of God. That's what happens when you get around the people of God. And I think it's important that we take inventory and say, what am I surrounding myself with? What am I allowing to pour into my life? And is it something that's going to push me closer to God? Is it going to be something that pushes me closer to be more like Jesus? Or is it going to be something that if I become like that, will I like what I become? If I become like this person, will I like what I become? Will I be more passionate about the word of God, about the things of God, or will I be less passionate? Will I love my wife more, or will I love my wife less because I become like that person that talks down their spouse? You know, you got to take inventory of that. But the most important thing we can do as believers is be passionate about God. The most important thing we can do is develop a passionate, full walk with the Lord, and that comes by being around people that are passionate about God. And I love that Elisha's committed to that in Elijah. He's not going to get what he's looking for if he's not committed to that proximity. Because Elijah, eventually you get an opportunity to sit back. You know, when you first get saved, the presence of God has a way of pushing you and saying, you know, maybe you're newly saved and you're like, man, I had to be here tonight because I felt like God was just dragging me into church. You know, if you've ever been around somebody who's newly saved, there's God does that. But at times then God, I think, sets back so we have to press in, because he wants us to be hungry. He wants us to press into everything he wants. Eventually, there's another level of following that says, you don't have to be dragged by the presence of God to church, you don't want to leave church because you made a commitment to be here. You made a commitment. You don't have to be like encouraged and fired up to get in the altar. You say, man, I'm going to get in the altar because that's where I belong. Just get me in the presence of God because I know the presence of God changes me. And I know I want to be like that. And I want to be in his presence because I want what God has for me. Man, if God's given stuff tonight, I want to be there because I want what he has for me. If God's going to move tonight, I don't want to be sitting back. I want to be leaning in. Put me in proximity so I can get a little bit of what God has because I want what he has tonight. And that's an exciting thing, but you have to be committed to being close. You know, when Elijah says, hey, you know, I'm going to go here and you can stay back. Elijah goes, no, as you live and as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I want to be where you're at because I want what you have. I want to be where you at because I want to be where you at because I want what you have. It's good. I'll be where you at because I want what you have. That's funny. Proximity. We're going to move to the second point because I'm going to leave you with that thought. Proximity, the next point is persistent. You know, faithfulness is going to take you where God is, his calling is for you. It's through faithfulness that you're going to get there. It's through faithfulness. You know, we talk about proximity. Proximity doesn't matter if you only do it one day. If you say, oh man, yeah, proximity, that's good. I'm going to get in the altar. That's good. But then the next week, and then the next week, and then the next week, when it's raining, when it's snowing, when it's spring break, hello. You say, hey, I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to press in even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to worship even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to pray even when I don't feel like it. Last week we talked about prayer being seed. Oftentimes you don't see the result the minute you pray, but your prayer is a seed. So sometimes you pray even though you don't feel like it. Even though you don't see the result, you say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep seeking. God, I trust that you're going to work through this situation. God, I trust that as I'm seeking you, you're changing me to do what you've called me to do, and I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to be persistent. And that tenacity is a good thing. Yes. You know, too often, you know, we talk about the grace and the presence of God, which is true. But that can translate to if I don't feel the presence of God or I don't feel grace tonight, then I just don't feel it. I'm not feeling it tonight. And eventually you have to have the spiritual maturity to say, I'm going to press in even when I don't feel like it because I know God's going to use that and I know God blesses that and I know it takes faith to press in because I know if I seek you, those who seek you find you when they seek you with all their heart. I know, God, as I press in, I'm going to get your presence because you promised it. And even if I don't see it today, I don't feel like it today, I know, God, you're going to work through it. I know my prayer is going to make a difference, and I'm going to press in persistence with my prayer. Even though I don't see a change in that situation today, God, I'm going to keep praying for it because that persistence is what's going to, in the end of the day, put his presence on your life. That persistence. He goes, you know what? I'm going here, and you don't have to go. And Elisha says, no, I'm going to stay with you as the Lord lives as you live. But then the next time, He says again, hey, I'm going to go here. You don't have to go. And Elisha knows there's a transition that's going to happen. And Elisha's been hanging out with Elijah for a long time. He knows Elijah's best sermons. He's heard all of Elijah's funniest jokes, all right? He's seen Elijah do some cool stuff, and he's seen it all. And he could very easily say, you know what? I've seen it. I've been there. I've done that. It's cool. I don't need it. You go. Thanks for letting me off the hook. That's great. But he doesn't do that. He says, no, if you're going, I'm going. And the next time he says, no, if you're going, I'm going. And the next time he says, no, if you're going, I'm going. Because he wants what God's doing in his life. He wants what God has for him in that situation. And he's going to be persistent to get it. You know, the word for us tonight is maybe you've been to a few church services. Maybe you've heard a few sermons. Maybe you've heard a few worship songs. And you can think, man, I've heard a sermon like this before. Or, you know, he's doing all right tonight. I'd give him C plus, maybe B minus, you know. That's probably not his best sermon, but I mean, I've heard him A. He's done an A sermon one time, and there's an improvement track that I'm seeing. And yeah, I've heard him. I've heard a good sermon last week. That was a good sermon, you know. And oh, this worship song, you know, I think that they could have built that a little better on the chorus there. And the keys, man, they were rough tonight, but you know. And what I'm saying is, you can come in with the spirit of a critic instead of the spirit that says, I want to catch what God's doing here tonight. And that spirit of a critic will cause you to lose your persistence, because you can think, I've heard that song before, I've heard that message before, I've heard this passage preached before, and you lose what God's doing in the moment because you're not pressing in with the persistence that says, I want God, what you want to put on me, I want to get on me tonight. And that opens you up to what God would do, but it takes a persistence through the familiarity of just going through the motions to say, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to take a pass, but I'm going to press in. I'm going to press in. And God will honor that. You'll see change in your life. Maybe you're growing in your walk with the Lord. And we're talking about just becoming more of a mature Christian and catching what the Holy Spirit would want to do in your life. And that comes in proximity, but it also comes with persistence. And don't give up. Just because you haven't seen everything that you would like to see change in life, just because you've seen some of the same old habits show up, just because you don't have the prayer life that you want yet, just because you feel like, man, I should be farther down the tracks spiritually, don't give up, press in. Don't give up, be persistent. Don't give up, put yourself in proximity to godly people and put yourself in the presence of God and say, you know what, I'm gonna keep turning up, and God will bless that in your life. You'll watch him change you if you keep pressing in and you're persistent. Have a close proximity and be persistent to be hungry. And the third point is passion. Passion. If Elijah asks Elisha, you know, what do you want? What can I do for you? And he says, you know, Elijah, it's been a great time hanging out with you, man. I really think God's done a lot of cool things in your life. And just to be along for the ride, that's been good enough for me. He ain't getting a double portion. If he says, you know, I think I got a lot of great things in my life too, man. And it's cool God's going to take you to heaven, but I'm glad that it's my turn. I'm stepping into my turn, Elijah. It's good. He ain't getting a double portion. But if he says, you know what? I don't want just what I get from hanging out with you. I don't want to just get what I get in proximity. And I've been persistent. And I've stuck with this. But I want the supernatural element. I want a double portion. And you know why Elijah, in thinking about the passage, you know, at first you're like, huh, that's a weird thing. Because Elisha goes, can I have a double portion of your spirit? And he goes, you know, that's a hard thing you asked for. And you're like, that's weird. You know, why is that hard? Because what Elisha is asking for is supernatural. You know, being around the people of God and being in the presence of God will change you. And will push you to be more godly. And you'll notice yourself talking different. You'll notice God working your life in a different way. But there's an element to following God where there's a supernatural element that if you have the audacity to ask God to do something in your life that you could never do on your own and that wouldn't happen with proximity, God will do it in your life. And I get a little passionate about it because there's some of you in here and you're like, man, I'm really struggling with something. And I think just being around the people of God would make a difference in your life, and being persistent to be committed to the house of God and being in the presence of God would make a huge difference in your life. But you recognize, God, unless you do something supernatural in me and you put a little of your presence on my life, I will never overcome this. I will never be able to beat this. I'll never be able to be who you're calling me to be because you have an addiction or you have a habit or you have something that's a family heritage thing that's been passed down and it's not good. But you say, God, you know what? I'm going to be committed to your house. I'm going to get around your people. And God, but I need a little bit more. And God, I want what happens when I come into your presence. But God, I ask for a double portion. I don't want to just get what I get by proximity. I want to get what I get by the supernatural. And I want you to break chains in my life. And I want to talk different. And I want to walk different. And I want to say something different. And I want a boldness that I wouldn't have because I'm a timid person. But God, I know you can do it just by being in your presence. So God, do the supernatural. And that takes a faith to ask for it. To say, God, I'm going to believe that you can do it. And you recognize, I think if you're there, you recognize, God, that's a hard thing I'm asking for. And you know what? There's going to be moments in the presence of God, and you have to have an expectation for that to say, God, I believe you're going to do it. But sometimes that'll take a little bit of persistence. There's going to be a move of God in this story. You know, chariots of fire coming out of heaven and taking somebody up is not normal, all right? That doesn't happen every day, and I think that was the only time in Elisha's life that he saw that, but he had to be there to see it. He had to, when there was a move of God, he had to be there to experience it. And Elijah goes, unless you're here when God shows up, you won't get what you're asking for. And honestly, that should put in our hearts a sense of, God, I want to be there when you turn up. If you're showing up, God, I want to be there. So good. And oftentimes, that's right where you're at right now. You're in the prayer meeting. You're with the people of God. And I can tell you, I've been in a lot of prayer meetings. And it's cool that many times God shows up in a special way, but there are some times that they're extra special. And if you've been in that prayer meeting, you know. But you have to be there to experience that. And if you want God to do the supernatural in your life, you got to be in the presence of God. And that's why that persistence is so important. But if you say, I'm going to persistently put myself in proximity to your presence, God, then you're going to be in a position where God can do the supernatural in your life. And every person here has things in their life that if God were to touch you supernaturally by the power of his Holy Spirit, it would make a huge difference for you. And I want to encourage you tonight to say, you know what? I'm going to make some decisions. I'm going to make some decisions to put myself close. I'm going to make some decisions to be persistent. It takes a decision on the front end. Don't wait till the moment when you're tired and it's been a long week and you're not feeling very faith-filled to be like, should I go? But make a decision on the front end to say, you know what, I'm going to be a person that's there. And I know this can sound like a get in church message. You know, you just need to be in church because being in church is a good thing. Being in church is a good thing. But it's not just about like, hey, show up to church because, you know, that's a good thing. It's about, hey, God works through his church and the gathering of his people and his presence moves and God loves you and cares about you and he wants to move in your life, but you have to be there to experience his presence. And I want to encourage you to be in his presence. And if you do that, God will do the supernatural in your life and you'll get his presence on your life in ways that you didn't imagine. But you got to lean in, you got to press in, you got to be passionate enough to say, God, I want that more than anything else. If Elijah doesn't get in proximity, he's not persistent, and he doesn't have the passion to say, that's what I want. I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to ask for it, and I'm going to get in. God worked in his life because of that, and God wants to work in your life.